life on earth, written by Solomon. You certainly know that had very, very many wonderful truths, doctrinal and physical statements that are good for all of our spiritual health and life. And as in much of Scripture, the Proverbs often present two sides of a coin, contrasts, because certainly there are very, very stark contrasts in this existence. What we're going to be talking about is the matter of heaven and hell and life and death, and how that they might pertain to you and to me. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll continue. Wonderful Father God, we thank you for this hour that we can be before you for worship. Let it be that you'd hold up the preacher, help me to bring the message that you'd spoken to me about in the past days. Lord, that it could be a blessing to those in attendance today, that we might come to know you further, we might be able to develop our relationship with you. Lord, that we could establish a relationship with you if that's necessary. I humbly pray in Christ's name, amen. There are two and only two destinations for the souls of men when they leave this finite existence, and that is heaven or hell, depending upon the matter if we have spiritual life or if we continue to remain dead in our trespasses and sins. This is what Paul was talking about in Ephesians chapter 2 when he spoke to church people, and he says, and you, speaking of the church member, hath he, God, quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, past tense. And so they had went from a position of spiritual death to spiritual life and union with God. So let's look at this, look at these verses of Scripture. I'm going to primarily be looking at Proverbs 15:24, but also I put in this one from Jeremiah, also that it helps to define a little bit better what we're going to be talking about. The Bible says the way of life is above to the wise, that he may depart from hell beneath. Heaven and hell are two real places. In the spiritual realm, heaven exists. In the physical realm, hell, most very, very likely, resides somewhere down, straight down in the center of the earth, where the souls of the lost are paying for their sin debt that they incurred in this existence. The Bible says further there in Jeremiah 21, verse 8, and unto this people thou shalt say, thus saith the Lord, behold, or look, I set before you the way of life and the way of death. It worked. And so we all understand that we have one thing in common, each and every one of us, is that we're all sinners, first and foremost. The difference is that there are two types of sinners. There are saved sinners, those that have been spiritually born again into God's family, and lost sinners, those that have not known the spiritual birth. It's very, very clear as you examine Scripture that the saved sinner will be judged at one time for as to reward, but the lost sinner will end up paying their sin debt in the fires of hell. And again, there are only two ways or conditions for the soul. Those who have spiritual life, it's heaven. For those that are spiritually dead, hell. Just checking. I had a terrible time with this a while back, so you that don't, that weren't here for that, you didn't see me suffering. Okay, so these verses from Proverbs also posit a real-time situation. that really depicts the heart of man. Proverbs 20, verse 6, it says, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find. And so, indeed, most people, if you ask them if they're a good person, they're going to pony up and they're going to proclaim their own righteousness. But the truth is, the Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And though we may look good in our own eyes, it's not how we look before God, but how God looks upon us. And the person that's talked about being faithful is simply a person who has faith in God, that knows God, that knows Jesus Christ as their Savior. It's one thing to believe that there is a God. There's also another thing, very much more important, that we know Him personally as our God and Savior. Verse 9 from that chapter says, who can say, I have made my heart clean, I am pure from my sin? That's what's called a rhetorical question. It really needs no answer. If you understand who you and I are, there are none of us that are clean in our spiritual self. Isaiah 64, verse 6, it says that all our righteousness are as filthy rags. And so whatever we would hold up before God for justification for our admittance into heaven, God says, I'm not accepting it. Because if there wasn't consequences for our sin, why would we need to worry about it? But in truth, we need to come to know and understand that God has set a standard for righteousness. When He says, be ye holy as I am holy, the standard that He has set for admittance into heaven is perfection. Spiritual perfection, physical perfection, something that we cannot attain to in our own strength. And the truth is, as it says there in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, and it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. That word appointed is important. We have an appointment, one that we're not going to get out of. You might blow off going to the dentist. You might blow off, he's going to do a root canal. You might blow off going to here or going to there. But this is an obligation that you're not going to sidestep. And this matter about being once to die, and after this, the judgment, this is the very truth. One time, and one time only, will each and every soul in this existence experience death. Sometimes hear about people that they died on the operating table? No. And they came back? No. You're either dead or you have life. In the sense of, look at it like this, you know, if you're out camping and you start that fire in the morning, you cook your chow and you go off, you're gone all day, you come back and you want to get that coffee pot going again, and you look, the fire's all out, it's just ashes. But you go in there and you brush that ash off and you got one little red coal in there. And you take that tinder out of your pocket. I like to use dryer lint. And you put that on there, you got your kindling, and you and you got the fire starts up again. It's because it never had really died. There was still that seed of life there. And in that, the person on that operating table, his heart can stop, his breath can stop. But until that soul and spirit leaves the body, there's still life, potential for life. That's why they call it cardiopulmonary resuscitation. So, but the truth is, for us as individuals, we need to know that there's going to come a time of spiritual accounting before God. So we're going to look at these contrasts between life and death. Life is, in the sense we're talking about, is There's physical life and there's spiritual life. On the other side of the coin, there's three aspects of death that we'll look at: physical, spiritual, and eternal. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, for by him, that's God, were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. So God is the author of creation, of each and every thing in this existence, except sin. God, on succeeding days of creation, says in the beginning God created the heaven and earth. He established time, space, and matter. And on successive days of creation, he brought in plant, animal, and human life. Man is not an animal. He is not a primate. Man is a special creation of God. When God created Adam, he breathed into him the breath of life, and he made him a living soul. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. In that man, we share being made out of the same stuff. We're carbon-based life forms, but the similarity ends when it comes to the being created in the image of God, in that we don't have a perfect nature. We have an infinite nature, that the soul and spirit that you and I experience in this moment in time, I want you to think on this, is going to exist forever. That when you leave this physical plane, it is either going to go home to God in heaven, if you've been born again and have spiritual life, or it is going to go straight to hell if you haven't believed on God as your Savior. That is the difference between men and animals. That's talked about physical life, spiritual life. Romans chapter 8, verse 6 says, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And so the truth is that these elements that we've talked about are something that are just as real as you and I, as we stand in this existence. It's something that we're going to all experience. We have life now, but the truth is that the sand in the hourglass, so to speak, the amount of time that you and I have in this existence is finite. And we don't know how much of that life still exists in this form. We like to think we have tomorrow, but there's no guarantee of that. There's myriads of people that are stepping off into eternity today and will experience eternity today that did not expect to die, but will face death, and the door of death will open for them, and there'll be no more turning back. It'll be heaven or hell for those souls. According to their response to the call to repent and believe the gospel. And so there is going to be a judgment. Let's look at this. So we know that we pass from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. And so spiritual life comes from knowing God as his Savior. It should be evidenced by loving our neighbor, loving those around us enough to do just what we're doing now, to assemble and worship and share God's word with them. For the lost, they're going to face a terrible place. Revelation chapter 20, verse 14 says, death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. The hell that's down, hell was created for the devil and his angels, and it is a physical place down in the middle of the earth, I believe. But that's not the final resting place. Eternal separation from God will occur when we're cast into that lake of fire, from either place, heaven or hell or this lake of fire, there's no return. There's no getting out of it. You can't, you know, there's one thing in this existence, you know, you can incur a debt, a monetary debt, so on, and, you know, and if you work hard, you can pay off that debt yourself. But that sin debt, when it says that the wage of the sin is death, we don't have what it takes to pay off that sin debt. It takes sinless, perfect blood to make the payment for the horribleness of our sin. And so unless we come to Christ, believing on him and trusting in his shed blood sacrifice, then those souls in hell, final resting place, the lake of fire, will pay and pay and pay and pay and pay. So for the believer, there is going to be judgment, but it'll be as to reward. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 11 through 15, it says, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is in Jesus Christ." It says, "Now if any man build up upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble," there you see there's a stark contrast between those, each pairs of those three elements, isn't there? It says, "Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall reveal by fire, shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built, thereupon he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." Well, it's a lot to say there, but basically it's this. When the believer goes before the judgment seat of Christ, we'll go through that refiner's fire, that which was done for self or for frivolity or for, we're not being judged for sin. Can't be judged for sin. That's all done. That's taken care of. We're going to be judged as for reward. What was our motivation for service in this existence? And for that which was trivial, it's going to get burned away. But hopefully, there'll be something of works that we did for God in honest service, the gold, silver, precious stones we'd be able to fashion before into a crown, I believe, that we can put before God's throne to give honor to our great God and Father. Amen. That should be our desire for every believer, to have something that when we leave this existence, we go before God, we will hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter into thy rest." There couldn't be nothing better you could know in to know that in this existence and to know that that is possible for you when you get home to heaven. So, looking at life and what it is, the judgment for believers, but of course there is another condition to consider. And that is the judgment for the lost. We know John 3:16 speaks of how God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And we don't really focus in on that some will perish. Okay? God is going to save the souls of those that repent and believe on their Savior, but some will perish. And they're going to exist for eternity in a diminished state in the fires of hell, the lake of fire. And as we know, John 3:18, it says, right after John 3:16 makes that wonderful promise, he says, "He that believeth on him not, he that believeth on him is not condemned," headed to heaven, "but he that believeth not is condemned already." Why? "Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." And so that is why it's of ultimate and very, very, very importance that in this existence we get this matter of our spiritual relationship with God settled. For there's only two avenues of egress when we leave this world, heaven or hell. And there's nothing in between. There's nothing in between. We need to know and understand that, truthfully, the condemnation is upon all the lost who've made the choice to not believe on Christ as their Savior. And so they're going to face judgment, and the fires of hell await them. Again, Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." We need to know and understand that this is very truth. And until we can come to that position where you understand our own our own spiritual standing before our God. The Bible says that the Word of God is designed to make, to stop every man's mouth and make him guilty before God. Because when guilt is understood and accepted, then it can be dealt with. Until an individual can say, "Yeah, I'm a sinner, I'm lost, I need a Savior," there can be no offer of repentance. Only lost sinners are going to get saved. Until you understand that you're a lost sinner in need of a Savior, you remain in jeopardy of eternal judgment. So we'll look at this a little bit again here, the way of life versus the way of death. I want you to note some of these contrasts in here. And as we go into this, we're going to see this term wicked repeated again and again and again. And if you're lost and you're sitting there and you're saying, "Well, I'm not a wicked person," well, God, this term wicked is synonymous with a lost person. It's a condition of our being. I need to know and understand that, that before God's, all our works are iniquity. Our iniquities, the Bible says, that term speaks of how our sin is an abomination before God, something that's filthy and awful. And again, we don't want to paint that picture of ourselves. But I'll tell you something, when you get up in the morning and you look in that mirror, you're looking at a sinner. A saved sinner, if you know Christ as your Savior, or a lost sinner that's headed to hell if you haven't repented and put your faith in Christ. And that's a truth that you cannot get away from, nor should we try. Truth is truth, and it must be abided by. Okay, let's look at this. Proverbs chapter 10 says, "The fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but," there's that other side of the coin, "the years of the wicked shall be shortened. The hope of the righteous shall be gladness, but the expectation of the wicked shall perish." That word "hope" there is not a maybe, wanna, kinda, sorta hope. This is a done deal in God's eyes. The hope that the believer has is settled the moment in time that he trusted in Christ as his Savior and is born into God's forever family. That is a hope that is fixed and is as real and as unchanging as anything can be. Again, it says, verse 29, "The way of the Lord is strength to the upright, but destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity." And finally, "The righteous shall never be removed, but the wicked shall not inhabit the earth." The Bible says that the meek shall inherit the earth and have this as a part of their eternal possession. So here it is. There's a way to heaven, and there's a way to hell. The Bible says that Jesus said that broad is the way that leads to heaven, to hell, but straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leads to everlasting life. John 14, verse 6, it says, Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. The life, spiritual life. No man cometh unto the Father but by him." Now, when you look at this, See, when I don't do stuff, you got to tell me. What happened here? Yeah, okay. There you go. It's just like when I was teaching Sunday school. You know, I used to go and teach in front of the kids. And then I'd go into the, you know, I'd go into the restroom or something, you know, to wash up or something, and I'd see that my tie is all out and my shirt's buttoned wrong. And I'd say, why didn't you tell me? And they'd say, oh, we don't care, Mr. Girth. Well, I care. When I do something wrong, tell me. So if I don't click the button. Okay, so this slide, it must have been made before the days of the GPS and smartphones. Or Mom would be sitting there and she'd be looking at that and Dad would be saying, you know, well, whatever. But here it is. There's only one road, okay? One road. One pathway that'll get you to heaven. And so this guy is saying, I thought all roads lead to God. And there it is. That is one of the basic truths that have sent more people to hell probably than any other attribute or aspect in existence. Because every individual in this space-time-matter continuum has a system of self-justification. Even the atheist who says there is no God, by definition, he has a belief system about his existence. Whether you're a part of Islam, Buddhism, Protestantism, religion in itself doesn't save you. God does. It says in the book of James, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the widow and orphan in their affliction and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. And as I was examining this one time, I looked upon it in contrast with the royal law, which says that thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and all thy strength, and to love thy neighbor as thyself. And so if you love your neighbor as yourself, you're going to visit the widows and orphans. You're going to take care of the needs of those that are around you that you can affect. And if you're going to, and if you know, if you love the Lord with all your heart and soul, mind, and strength, you're then going to seek to keep yourself unspotted from the world. That means to maintain a spiritual relationship with God and then to build on that through the matter of our sanctification and in entering into separating ourselves from sin as much as we're able. But you see here, in this slide, there's only one way to God, and they're on the wrong road. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, you're on the wrong road and you're headed to hell. If they take another step, and you know, there's that picture, all those souls in existence right now, there's only this one step away from hell, one step away from judgment. Be serious about this matter and understand. And for you that are saved, remember, those around you are in that very situation. That's why we need to be reaching out to them. Because you don't know when your neighbor, your friend, relative is going to make that step off into eternity and there's going to be no more offer of repentance. And so the lady, you know, she says, I told you to ask for directions. Nah, you know. Well, she should have. But what they need to do, they're at a dead end. They need to turn around. They need to repent. They need to turn around and get on the right road because there's only one way to heaven, and that is through Jesus Christ. There we go. I wasn't pushing hard enough. You warned me about that. John chapter 10, verses 1 through 2, and verse 7, he said this, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. And it's talking about those that have put their faith in a unscriptural belief system. There's lots of wolves in sheep's clothing out there that are leading people to hell, leaders of religion. The people in Islam are very, very sincere, but they're all very, very going to end up in heaven unless they come to Christ. And we just were praying about our missionary this morning, Brother Noah George, ministering in Beirut, Lebanon, ministering to people of the Islamic faith. He's working with at least five men in one Bible study, maybe six or seven, that are coming seeking Christ. And numbers of people have been saved already, won from that wicked religion and born into the family of God. No longer under the chains of sin and death and hell, but through the spiritual birth. Does it make any difference if you're what color, what age, what belief system you're in? If you're willing to trust in Christ as your Savior and turn from the old ways, you can be saved. It says, but he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. That Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. The door, the sheep is us. The door is a means of access. We access the family of God when we come to Jesus Christ, when we trust in him as our God and Savior. What am I doing here? Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. It says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on the things above, not on things of the earth. If you're living for yourself, if you're living for the matters of this world, you're in dire trouble before God. He says, for ye, now he's talking about those that have been risen with Christ. He says, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. So he says, at one point he says, you have life, but now he says you're dead. What? What's that about? Second Peter 2:24 says, for his own self, he bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness. By his stripes we are healed. We become dead to sin, separated from it. Death is a separation, remember? Separation of the physical body from the soul and spirit. Separation of the spirit from God. And so the believer then has been eternally separated from their sin debt and have the sure promise of heaven. The way of death, physical death, Solomon wrote about in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 6 and 7. He uses some very, 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 very beautiful figurative language here when he says, or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern, then shalt the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. There's no such thing as annihilationism. Some would like to believe that the soul and spirit, the essence of who you and I are, is just like a drop of water on a hot stove, just and we're gone. No. The soul and spirit is going to go back to God for judgment. It's appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. It's an appointment that each and every one of us is going to make in joy or in grief and sorrow. I can't think of anything worse than for those, the Bible talks about how in hell, that those people, there's a place of utter darkness and there's wailing and gnashing of teeth. And I think especially for the person that has heard the gospel message and said no, all the length of their existence in their life, they're saying, why, oh, why didn't I listen? Why, oh, why didn't I believe? Why didn't I make the choice to believe on Christ as my Savior? There we go. Here's another slide. Remember we talked about that there's going to be an accounting. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but there's a way out. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So here you see this guy. He's working for Sin Incorporated, and that little picture there is a caricature of the Grim Reaper, a.k.a. Satan. He's just waiting to take the lost soul off with him to hell. But this fellow has been seeking, and he finds this on his internet screen. He says, find your calling at God and Son, signing bonus, eternal life, a free gift to all qualified applicants, faith required. Repentance and faith is the only way to know the forgiveness of sin. And this guy is getting smart. He's finally starting to gain a bit of spiritual wisdom. He said, I think I should change employers before payday. This might seem a little bit trivial, but I wanted to get it across to you. This is real. That the individual that walks out of this world without Christ is going to pay an awful, awful debt. They're going to experience eternal death, eternal separation from God. This is what's spoken of in Revelation chapter 20 about the great white throne judgment. John said, I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. It's such going to be an awesome happening that it's just going to be God. That everything else in existence will be moving away from the awesome presence of God. And he says, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those works which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, eternal separation from God. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. There's only way that that the Lamb's book of life is that register of every soul, every one of God's children is in that register. Just like the little Titus, he's got a birth certificate. And that birth is recorded, and he's a part, forever a part of that Fort family. And for that individual that knows Christ as their Savior, you're forever a part of his family, and that'll never change. But if you're not in that book of life, you have no registry, you have no sonship, you have no part in God's family. So what's the hope then? Well, Luke 19:10, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they all work in concert to bring the lost sinner to Christ. In John chapter 1, it says that God giveth to every individual a little bit of light, a little bit of spiritual understanding, a little bit of spiritual salt on their tongue that creates a desire, a thirst for more. And for whatever individual, as they react to that light, God gives them more light. He works on us through our conscience. He works on us through the revelation in nature. And he works on us through his word of God that we can know the way of salvation. Luke 19, verse 10. It says, for the Son of Man, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Read the souls of men. God the Father also works in this element of salvation. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, it says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And that word come, again, is an important word. The individual must make the choice. God is out there standing with his arms wide open, ready to receive the lost, guilty sinner, to bring him into his forever family. And finally, the Holy Spirit also has an element in this. Titus 3:5 says, not by works of righteousness, which we have done. Remember from the verse that was talking about before about the matter of works in Revelation chapter 20? Your works can't get you to heaven. Works are for the only works that are accounted for anything is for in the life of a believer as for reward. But if you're trying to work your way to heaven, you're not going to get there. You got more chance of jumping across the Grand Canyon than you do of working your way to heaven. And if you ever stood at the rim of the Grand Canyon, you know there's no way you can span that in your own strength. The Bible says, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy. God's mercy is him not giving us the punishment that we deserve for our sins. According to the mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. We talked already about from 1 Peter 2:24 that we need to be washed in the blood. That was the significance of when the nation of Israel were coming out of Egypt. God had them put to kill the blood of the lamb and put it over the doorposts and the lintels so that when the Holy Spirit, when the death angel went over, they were covered by the blood. And symbolically, it symbolized their faith that God would deliver them. And for the individual that has been born into God's family, here's how it works. That sin sickness that we have, the filth of our sin, this is the awesomeness of what God does. This is the awesomeness of what God does. The Holy Spirit comes and he washes that soul and spirit in the blood of the Lamb, and then he moves in. Bible says, and Paul said, you know, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? The Holy Ghost does not possess any lost person. He cannot have any part in his being. He works from out to draw people to Christ. But the believer can claim that wonderful marvel of having God himself in the form of the Holy Spirit indwelling. So, the way of life is above to the wise, then it may depart from hell beneath. We know the great verse, for by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works that any man should boast. You see this guy rocking and bopping down the lane there. Well, he's tuning in to God. God's grace is him giving us the gift of everlasting life that we don't deserve. And also his grace is part, it extends to the believer in the divine enablement for us to go out through this life to walk by faith and not by sight. So, Jeremiah 21, verse 8 again. It says, unto this people thou shalt say, thus saith the Lord, behold, I set before you the way of life and the way of death. There's the choice. It's up to you in this moment in time, if you don't know God as your Savior, to begin thinking about the spiritual reality of that you may be in. Here you see this guy. He's lost in his sin. And this is the way it is. This is the way it is. For the individual that's lost and separated from God, it's sure death. Just like this man in this little drawing, in this cartoon. If he stays in that building, the building of sin, he's going to die surely. He's going to be consumed. For the individual that makes the choice to not believe in this existence, they will only face a horrible judgment. The Bible says in Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. No one understands that. And so it's like the guy says, jump before it's too late. Make the choice. You see, faith involves action. Faith involves a choice. It's stepping out and saying yes to the things of God, no to the ways of the world, and simply trusting that God will do what he said he'll do, that he'll give you that gift of everlasting life when you bend that knee and you trust on him as your personal Savior. One more. Certainly there's enough forest fires going on in our country. California is half burned up. Well, I'm sorry for them. I really am. But there's fires that are waiting the lost soul. And some of those people, they don't get out. You understand? Have you heard about some of the deaths, the death tolls, some of those fires? Tragic. Some of them could have been avoided if they had simply got out of the way of the fire. Well, this is like this guy, Psalm 89, verse 14, justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne. Mercy and truth shall go before thy face. And here it is. One guy is saying, said, let's get out of here. There's forest fire heading this way. And the guy says, well, I'll worry about it later. You see, to say maybe is to say no. Without saying yes to the call to repent and believe, you remain in a position of separation from God. So Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24, it says, search me, O God, and know my heart. And try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me and what? And lead me in the way everlasting. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, I'd ask you to humble yourself before God and trust in Him while there's time. There's only two ways in this life that we're going to exist at death, heaven or hell, depending upon our faith in Christ. I beseech you to be saved. If you haven't, if you're a saved person, treasure up that gift of salvation and make sure you go out of your way to share it with somebody, to look at that lost soul and understand what they're going to face when they leave this existence without Christ. Questions? Comments? Oh, we've run out of time. Thank you. I shouldn't do stuff like that.